Parshat Vayera begins with the very famous Hachnasat Orchim, the welcoming of guests that Avraham Avinu does, right after Bris Milah, the third day. Chumash tells us we're in source number one. Hashem appeared to him in the plains of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance of the tent in the heat of the day. He lifted his eyes and saw, and behold, three men were standing over him. He perceived, so he ran toward them from the entrance of the tent, bowed toward to the ground, and he said, "My Lord, if I found favor in your eyes, please not pass away from your servant. Let some water be brought and wash your feet and recline beneath the tree. I will fetch a morsel of bread that you may sustain yourselves and go on, inasmuch as you have passed your servant's way." They said, "Do so just as you have said." So Avram hastened to the tent of Sarah and said, "Hurry, three seahs of meal, fine flour, knead and make cakes." And Avram ran to the cattle, took a calf, tender, good, and gave it to the youth who hurried to prepare it. He took cream and milk and the calf which he had prepared, and he placed these before them. He stood over them beneath the tree, and they ate. Right? That's a very famous description, very, very specific description of the Chnasat Orchim of Avraham Avinu. I'd like to learn together, Mirtz Hashem, today, one Rashi. Rashi is based on the Medrash, one Rashi. And it'll give us such an inkling in learning this Rashi of the depth of how every Pasuk in Chumash is so much, every word you can learn so much. And Avraham Rashi teaches us layers upon layers of understanding. We've seen this over and over again, and it should always but amaze us how we sell ourselves short by just, you know, reading Chumash and Rashi and not really delving into what we're being taught here, what life lessons we can learn. So on verse 4, "Let some water be brought and wash your feet." So we know the washing of the feet, Rashi tells us in source number 2, he thought they were Arabs who worshipped the dust at their feet, and therefore he was careful not to bring Avodah Zarah, idolatry, into his home, and therefore he asked them to wash his feet. Good. I'd like to learn the Rashi, the first Rashi in this pasuk. Yukachna, let it be taken. So Rashi tells us, Yukachna yidei shaliach, let some water be brought, means that someone else was going to bring the water. He wasn't going to be bringing it. Ayidei Shaliah, who the emissary was, it could either be one of his servants, or as we'll see, it could have been Yishmael, his son. V'Kadosh Baruch Hu Shalem Lebanav Ayidei Shaliah, because he brought it through an emissary, Hashem repaid Klal Yisrael through an emissary. Shenamar, as it says, Vayara Moshe et Yado, Vayachet Hatzela, Moshe Rabbeinu lifted up his hand and he hit the rock. The Ruach Eliyahu, in source number 3, and you find this in many different places, quotes the Medrash of how everything that Avraham Avinu did was repaid to his children. Right, in this Medrash in source number 3, you see it's not only paid to his children in the Midbar, but also repaid to the children in Eretz Yisrael. The Psukim are quoted here. But the Tamsit, the essence of the Medrash is, Avraham Avinu went and told Sari Menu and was involved in preparing the bread itself. Klal Yisrael got man, got the heavenly bread directly from him. He stood over them as they ate. He was involved in taking care of them and being mishamish them. Hashem Kivyachol stood over us and he gave us, Hashem gave us the Anan HaKavod, the clouds of glory in the desert, directly from Hashem. These are the acts that Avraham Avinu did directly. Hashem repays directly. Yukach namad mayim. Let water be taken through an emissary. Water was given to us, the Be'er Shomirim, through an emissary. Moshe Rabbeinu had to lift up his hand and strike the rock, and water didn't come automatically. There had to be an intermediary who brought us the water. There are quite a number of questions that we need to ask on this Rashi. Let's raise them. We'll start with source 4. The Tzarich Lav Inyan Iyun L'chora Maseh Zeh U'Maseh Zeir L'umat Gordoch L'sad Ruchim Shayanu Heibo Avraham Avinu. I mean, if we get a perspective, Avraham Avinu, Vayita Eishel, he plants an orchard, Achila Shnia Levaya or Lina, he plants an orchard where people are able to eat, drink, be satisfied. For all of that, Achnasat Orchim, we don't see such a great reward. For this particular act, whoa! Man, Anne Akavod, the Be'er, unbelievable! What was it about this act? Man Ishtana, asked the Drash Mordechai, Rav Druk, Masa Zemi, Kol Masim, Sheik, Mikvoteim, Zachav Ravinu, Al Kol Davar Katan, Lechok Achar Beitzchar. For something so small, he stood over them and he served them. Wow, Anne Akavod, right? We have the holiday of Sukkot. as he quotes here, Reb Chaim Shulevitz Zatzal would say, you know, I've also given water to poor people. And sometimes I've even given them, you know, chicken to eat. I don't have, you know, Amnei HaKavod coming to me. I don't have, you know, the Be'er Shel Miriam. Like, I also do acts of chesed. How come every person doesn't get a reward like this? Further, we need to understand. Be'er Yosef of Yosef Salant, source 5. V'tzarich lavim b'mita zu sh'asah HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Yisrael dafka. Okay, Nicha, in this case, Avraham Avinu didn't give them water. But I'm sure in many other cases, he did give them water. So if you're going to tell me that the acts that Avraham Avinu does create such a tremendous reward, so then let's not count this particular story. Let's take another story where Avraham Avinu does bring the water himself. And in that case, Hashem should have given us the water directly. Just because one time he doesn't give us water for that, we need to have it through Aydei Shaliach. So why is such a small act deserving such a great reward? Why specific this act and not any other act? And just because in this particular act he doesn't give water, so now the water has to be given Aydei Shaliach through an emissary? I mean, it seems to be a little bit intense here. Like, what's going on? And further, as the Sefer Machaneh Dan in 6a, we know that there are two psukim which talk about Moshe Rabbeinu bringing out the water. V'kita batzur, pasuk and parasha b'shalach, where he doesn't get punished, and Hashem tells him to strike the rock and water comes out. And the pasuk that Rashi quotes is from the Sefer Bamidbar, from parasha Chukat, where he strikes the rock, and he's not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. Yamo amanta v'alakti sheni, because you didn't honor my name and create a kiddush Hashem. So if we're talking about that Hashem repays measure for measure, and he has Moshe Rabbeinu as an emissary, why are we bringing the negative case? Bring the positive case. Bring the good case. Where Moshe Rabbeinu is a positive emissary, he's told to strike the rock, he strikes the rock, water comes out. Why specifically does Rashi bring the case of where Moshe Rabbeinu gets punished, and because of he strikes the rock, he's not allowed to enter into Eretz Yisrael? And after all, I'm sure, notes the Avodat Yisrael, there was a good reason why Avraham Avinu didn't bring the water. And he quotes here, perhaps one approach is that the water is the idea of purification, that Avraham Avinu, right, didn't want to be involved himself, so in order to protect his own spirituality, in Lo Ratzala Redmin Kushatov, Litaraving Mehem, Penyit Lachlech, Mehem Umachshoteim, he didn't want to be influenced from their negative deeds, and therefore by the Rechitza he says, you know, let somebody else do it, but then Vishanu Tachara Eid, the Yitzchayim, the Tree of Torah, of Kedusha, first you have to Sur Meirah, get rid of all the negativity, and then embrace the positivity. There probably was many reasons why Avraham Avinu, a very good reason, why he didn't bring the water himself. And for that, we get so severely punished. And further, we may argue that he wanted to train Yishmael in the water, like he gives him, as Rashi tells us, Vayitein el Adar, later by the Bakar, by the meat, he gives it to him, L'chancho b'mitzvos, to, you know, to learn how to do mitzvos. Perhaps here he also wanted him to do the mitzvah bringing water, like, for that, Klai Yisrael have to have an emissary. This whole thing needs to be understood. So my friends, what I'd like to try to do is try to understand, layer after layer, what was so special about the act of Avraham Avinu in general, that he is worthy of such a reward? What was so special specifically about this act? Why this is the act that shows it, not any other act? Why are we so, you know, careful that he missed the water in this case, that Klai Yisrael have to be repaid? And then to end off with, well, if it was his own son he was trying to educate, would that count for something? And finally, why was this particular pasuk chosen, the one that's more negative and not the one that's more positive? And we will see realistic ramifications, what it's all about, with tremendous, tremendous lessons. Nothing like earth-shattering, but the beauty is in its simplicity. Like the Mesillas Yesharim says, that which we already know, that's what's earth-shattering. And okay, we'll get to it slowly. Let's begin with the idea that the Drash Mordechai himself notes. And that's on the next page in source number 7. And he says, Ma'am Ravinu, Mevarim Rabotenu Balei, Mosar Kol Adam Mit Chaseidim Chavero, Ein Chastos Shalom. The truth is, anytime we do an act of chesed, it's really not an altruistic act. Why? Because it's not really with a desire to give as much as we can't stand for ourselves the pain when we see somebody else who's in trouble, when we see somebody else who's in pain. It bothers us. So therefore, we extend ourselves to the poor person in order to assuage our own conscience. Achmida tachesed shel Avravinu the dad in 7, haytarit son leitiv amanat leitiv. Avravinu was different. He whole focus was giving for the sake of giving, even if the other person doesn't need it. Like our case of the angels, they don't need it. So even if, and according to some people, Avravinu knew on some level that they were angels, right? It's a machloket whether he realized it or not. But even if they don't need it. Right? We know they don't need it. It didn't matter to Avravinu whether they needed it or not. It was the sake of giving for the sake of giving and not for the receiving. And this is the difference between in 7 and 8, Avravinu and Eov. Eov, we also know, house was open and people would come to his house and be satiated. What was the difference between them? One, Eov stayed at home and waited for people come to him while Avravinu went out. And two, and this is a crucial difference. Ego would feed people what they're used to. Okay, tell me the menu you have at home. You have, you know, Kellogg's for breakfast, so I'll give you Kellogg's. You have an omelet for breakfast, so I'll give you an omelet. Whatever you're used to, that's what I'll give you. That is what was the mindset of Ego. Avravinu said, what do you have for breakfast? Kellogg's? You never tasted an omelet for breakfast? Let me make you an omelet. Right? He was able to give a person not what they're used to, but to be able to introduce them to much greater foods, to be able to treat them mamish like royalty. And in the middle of eight, someone never tasted meat before. Hey, try some. You may like it. He was able to treat a person on a much higher level of dignity than what they were used to. And it wasn't just like Avravinu just fed people. He really fed himself to them, his whole being. And that's why, because Avravinu's chesed was on such a greater and higher level, he was worthy of having these great miraculous things happen in his chos and his merit. Okay, we still have to understand this. He did many acts of chesed. Why specifically this one? Many people do acts of chesed. Rav Chaim Shalovin said, you know, I also give water and meat to people. What was it about Avravinu that was able to generate such a gevaldic reward, and specifically now? So I'd like to enter into a wonderful essay, which is obviously much longer, much more complicated, in the Asufos Varachos Rav Goldfuch Zatzal, to give us a glimpse into the mindset of Avraham Avinu and into the way he did the acts of chesed, and perhaps to be able to give us some type of structure, some type of goal to reach in our own acts of chesed. So let's keep the Drash Mordechai in our minds. We're going to come back to it very soon. And let's bring in another nekuda, another aspect, and then we'll tie it all together. Note the Asufos Varachos in source number 9. We know there's an idea of Sof Maaseh B'machshava Tchila. When you have, when you do anything, the whole nature of what you accomplish is B'machshava Tchila, is really dependent on your mindset before you begin. And he compares this, he says, a carpenter who makes a wooden table or a shtender, he's interested in making something that will be used. And his whole mindset is, you know, let me make a functional table. This is not true, however. Shonim heim adarim in 10 in the bracket, min hayaso b'chefsei shamayim. When you're involved in creating something that's going to be of a spiritual nature, then there's a dramatic difference from moment go. V'shorish hadarim na'utz b'torat lishma hamurah b'chafatzim shel kedusha. Items of kedusha, of holiness, have to have the lishma, the sake of heaven from the moment go. So, for example, when one strings the tzitzit, you have to have in mind that I am stringing them in order, making the knots, in order to accomplish the mitzvah of tzitzit. If you happen to, you know, knot them all the way with all the strings, with the exact amount, and then say, well, wow, I did exactly as I was supposed to, I guess these are tzitzit, it doesn't count. They have to have the mindset of being for tzitzit. Likewise, the klaf, for the Sefer Torah, for the tefillin, for the mezuzah. When you already prepare the parchment, it has to be prepared with the mindset that this is going to be used for Dorah Shebe Kedusha. When you say Lamei, third paragraph in 10, Shebe Dorim Shebe Kedusha, things of holiness, HaMachshavat Chilah Hitnai Kodem Lamaisa. You need to have that machshava. You need to have that first thought, the foremost thought, before you start acting. V'od yoter, he etzem ma'atzamav shel chesed de'kedusha. It is the very aspect of what kedusha is about. B'nigud l'maisim shocho, b'kotshim kliya maisa mamlichim al atzmam kliya dat. In things of holiness, the mindset and the action have to be in sync one with each other, ready for the moment of doing it. And it creates a whole different reality. He quotes here that famous Gemara and the Gra's understanding at source number 11 of Maisechia. Right, the Gemara tells us that at the time of Rebbe, there was a tremendous sata, a tremendous force of shechacha, of forgetfulness, right? It was a time of galus, of forgetfulness in Kleiser. That's why Rebbe wrote down the Mishnah. And Rebbe Chia saw that this is happening, that people are forgetting Torah. So what does he do? He plants flax seeds. He then takes the flax and makes out of them nets. From the nets, he entraps deer. He then takes the deer and feeds the meat to the poor people. He takes the flesh of the deer and he writes on it the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, the Mishnah. He writes on it Tzfarim. And with those, he went out to teach the children. So you take a look at this and say, there were no nets available. There were no books available. I mean, what is Rabbi Chia doing here? And the Gra explains, V'kach mekubanu ba mishmei de Gaon and the Aaron 11. Shnei minei tamu Torah yesh. There are two types of Torah. Torah de'it bashechacha. Torah that you'll have forgetfulness. The Torah delayed by Shechacha, and Torah that will be without forgetfulness. Of course, Torah was found in Klal Yisrael, but L'shem Tamu Torah ba'alma achein hayat degel the Rabbi Chia b'chumashim adiknim b'shuk. If Rabbi Chia just wanted to teach Torah in general, it would have been enough. You know, you go to the store and you buy some sfarim. But Torah tunas gulat koach adelo mishtache. But Torah that will not be forgotten. The Torah that's going to be, the Torah that's going to keep the perpetuation of Klal Yisrael of Torah, al gabei klaf shenosad kula b'kedusha. It has to be from moment go, from the planting of the flax, from the traps, from the deer, everything has to be l'shem kedusha. And Torah based on this is Torah that will never be forgotten, because it's Torah of that what we mentioned of sof maaseh b'machshava tchila. And we know this to be true, my friend. A Beit Knesset that is built with 100% kosher money, and all the workers are focused in on their job, you won't have any extraneous thoughts when you're davening, right? Rav Shor speaks about how come we're not producing as many Talmidei Chachamim as we did in the past. He says, look at the money that we're, sending our children to learn with, the money that the schools are being funded from. Are they completely kosher money? It's not just the end product. It's the process as well that we need to understand has to be kol kulo l'kedusha, entirely for holiness, in order to be able to produce the gedolim, the great people that we're talking about. With this in mind, my friends, we can now appreciate what was the Sof Maisa B'machshava Tchila of Avraham Avinu. What was his mindset when he did Chesed? So we know, the Gemara in Sota tells us in Source 12, Amar Rabbi Chama the Rebbe Chanina. My dichtiv achrei Hashem lukechem telecha. What does it mean to walk after Hashem? Can you walk after the Shechina? No. It means that just like Hashem does acts of kindness, that Hashem is merciful, you too should be merciful, etc. Here we understand that we normally think, why do we do acts of kindness? We do acts of kindness because that's a societal obligation, right? I have my rights, they have their rights, I have to maintain my rights, they have to maintain their rights, and in order to have a society to function, I help them, they help me, and the society works together. That's very much focused in on self. When Avraham Avinu did an act of chesed, it wasn't about him. It was about emulating a Kadosh Baruch Hu from moment go. And therefore, Yisodam Sheldorim Yatsuk Noveya V'yonek Mikos Shifati Damut Hatzura LeYotzra. Avraham Avinu's whole mindset was, how could he be godlike? How could he emulate a Kadosh Baruch Hu? And we know that this was the whole being of what Avraham Avinu was about. That here, it is the third day of our first Mila. The sun is at its height. Avraham Avinu is looking for guests. If it's just a matter of this is the way society will function, you know what? Society will very well function without me for a day, and even for longer. But if it's about me to emulate Hashem, so just like Hashem gives kindness at all times, Olam Chesed Yibaneh, this is Amar Bishmul Bar Yitzhak, Amar Lo Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Avraham, Ani Umnati Gomel Chasadim, Tafastu Umnati Bo Levush Levushi. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you have, so to speak, clothed yourself in my essence. My essence is to do goodness. It's to give to others. That was the mindset of Avraham Avinu. What do you mean I can't help somebody? What do you mean? So it's the third day of my Mila, and there's no one out because there's a heat wave. But there must be somebody. There must be somebody that I can help. Because I want to emulate God. I want to be a giver. And therefore, all the acts that Avraham Avinu did, when it was from moment go, whether it's running to the guests, whether it's making the dough, whether it's going to the bakar, whatever it was, we are mistaken to think it was Avraham Avinu just shechting an animal. It was Avraham Avinu with all of the intensity of this animal is going to feed people so that I can do the chesed of emulating a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And how fortunate I am to be able to emulate Hashem at this moment. The entirety of his mindset, self-maisev and machshava tchila, the end is really involved in the mindset, the acts of chesed that Avraham did, the v'mahir, v'yaretz, the hurrying, the running. All of this isn't like when I hurry or run. It's an Avraham Avinu whose whole act is like Rabbi Yechia who's planting that flax. It's all l'shem chesed. It's all l'shem shamayim. Every act that he does is for the sake of heaven. And that's why in 14, the Chumash spends so much time describing Avraham Avinu's act of chesed, because it's teaching us what it means to invest not only your physical body in chesed, but your mindset in chesed as well. And with this we can appreciate the idea, me'ezes chud zachu Yisrael shenital le'man b'midbar, from where the Jewish people have the merit of having the man in the midbar, b'zchutcho shel Avraham shenemar lushi v'asiu, go, from Avraham Avinu who told his wife, go quick, you know, knead the bread. Ah, this isn't serving them the bread, this is just kneading the bread. Why is it the pasuk about kneading the bread, why is that the one that the Chumash brings and not the one that he took the food and he gave it to them? And the answer is, Ava b'chefzei shamayim, when you're involved in doing an act of chesed, ha-machshava t'chila kavanat ha-lishma, doesn't only appear in the end result, it appears in the process. The lushi v'asi ugot, the kneading the bread, the sifting of the flour, is in itself kedusha, is in itself holiness. That act itself warrants that Hashem responds with holiness. And now we can appreciate at the end of 14 and 15 how the Medrash says the angels actually ate the food. How are angels able to eat this food? Because it really wasn't normal food. It was food so invested with the kedusha, with the dveikus, with the connection, with the holiness. holiness of Avraham Avinu to Hashem, this food was like food for angels. It took on a whole different dimension. And that was the greatness of Avraham Avinu. And this, in fact, my friend, is all predicated. And we have to emphasize this on what Rav Zvi, it's a new sefer for us, Ruach Eliyahu, Rav Elia Zvi, Zatzal, Shiva, Philadelphia, teaches in 16, he says, "V'maisa zeh v'tei Avravinu, a golden harachato l'tzelem elokim." What Avravinu is teaching us here is what the power of being in the image of God is about. Let's say he didn't know they were angels. Let's say they were Arabs. But nevertheless, he gave them the greatest of honor. This is none other than the image of God. And he quotes here a great story in Gemara Kedushim of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Tzadok, who were at a Beit Mishteh, who were at a party by the son of Rabbi Gamliel. And Rabbi Gamliel was standing over them as a waiter serving them. So Rabbi Eliezer didn't want to have Rabbi Gamliel, the Gadol, door serve him. Rabbi Yeshua did take the cup of wine from him. Rabbi Eliezer said, "How could you do this?" And he says, "There's far greater person than Rabbi Gamliel who also served the guests and the guests received, and that was Avraham Avinu." Rabbi Sadat then responds, "Hold on a second, there's even someone greater than Avraham Avinu who's involved in acts of chesed to people. And that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's Meshiv Ruchel Sumaylim Nesim, right? And Eretz Yisrael, we just started to say Meshiv Ruchel B'Yirat Hashem last night. That we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who provides rain, who provides sustenance, and he provides food for every single person. Hu Yitbarach B'Chvodo B'Atzmo M'Shavesh Yikol HaBriyah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself serves all the creation. Zot omeret kol nizkavahi malas abriyos shenivru b'tzelem elokim kol chashuvim heim ad shiruyim shekadosh baruch hu ba'atzmo yishamesh otam. Listen to Rav Zvi Zatzal saying, "Oh, Kadosh Baruch Hu himself, kivyochol, serves each and every one of us. To what is it? What do we have that Kadosh Baruch Hu would serve us? We have the tzelem elokim. We have the tmud elokim. We have the image of God. And that, my friends, was the mindset of Avraham Avinu. Every person is created in the image of God. I want to give to every person, deserving or non-deserving. And that's the mindset of chesed that we have to push ourselves to as well. So often, someone comes to the door and asks for a handout, and we start evaluating them. Well, does this look like a person who should be working and I shouldn't be supporting them? This person looked like a real nevach and I really have to support them. Does this person look like they're a little bit mentally unstable and I don't want to support them? These are all questions that go through our heads. We make all these judgments. What we don't have go through our head, first and foremost, is, well, I have a tzelem elokim, I have a person who's standing in the image of God standing in front of me. And just like Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of the people who are created in his image, just like Avraham Avinu took care of people in his image without asking, do they deserve it or not? Do they need to have three tongues or not? I just want to give because I want to emulate Hashem, who is the giver par excellence. That should be our mindset. Without asking questions, to give, don't start telling me, but to give, how much you want to give, how you want to give, but to at least look at them. To create a B'Tselem Elokim in the image of God, and to be able to treat them like they're created B'Tselem Elokim in the image of God. Now we can appreciate, my friends, how is it that such a small act of Avraham Avinu can elicit such a great response? The answer is, it's not just a small act. It's an act which is invested with a mindset of Kedusha, of holiness, like the writing of a Sefer Torah from moment go. Every part of the process, the kneading the dough, the running, the preparation, is all done l'shem chesed, l'shem giving, in order to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if this is so, then we're not talking about me or you. We'll talk about me, forget about you, giving a person, you know, a cup of water. We're talking about Avraham Avinu and all that was invested in him. So he did many acts of chesed. Why specifically this one? So I'd like to just share briefly two approaches. The first approach that Rosh Mordechai brings in the name of the Chidushei Harim where he says that we know that when a non-Jew does an act down here, it doesn't have the same ramifications as when a Jew does an act. A Jew is given the tremendous responsibility and schus and merit of being able to do things down here and creates realities in all the worlds around us. Me'ezis sha'ah, the end of 17, he'tchila hanagato shel Kadosh Baruch Hu b'olamot elyonim liyot tliyah ba'am Yisrael daika. When was it that the world is dependent on the act of Jews? So, mevayer hachidushe avrim, so hayta be'etzem koach habris mila, kashe'ar avinu karat brit avayim borei olam, l'chiyot chayim mesiris nefesh shaman shmo yisbarach. At the moment that Avraham Avinu does his first milah, where he's ready to give himself completely to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem decided that every situation that a Jew is in will be dependent on the children of Avraham Avinu. So you're right. Harbe pamim kayam Avraham Avinu chesed kol lachem. There were many times that Avraham Avinu did an act of kindness beforehand. Akol mitzvot halalu hayu adayim beyot arel. But he didn't have a bris milah yet. This is the turning point when he actually becomes full-fledged Jewish. Hamitzvah rishona ota kiyem Avraham Avinu miyad achar hamilah. What was the first mitzvah that Avraham Avinu did after he did bris milah? Hayta mitzvah achnasat orachim. It was this mitzvah achnasat orachim. That's why the Chumash highlights this. And therefore, zurat stator tenok doshalom deinu lekach. And this is what the Torah wanted to teach us a lesson. Mahi double underline pulata shel mitzvah b'olam hazeh b'olam haba. The Torah takes and highlights the very first mitzvah that the Jew does. The very first mitzvah the Jew does as a bar chiyuva, as a full-fledged Jew. What mitzvah is that? It's achnasat orchim. And the Torah Chazal tell us, you know what reward Avraham Avinu got? We got the man, we got the bear, we got the Adonai Akava. Why this act of chesed, not once before or after? Because this is the first mitzvah that he does now after bris milah. And here the Chumash wants to highlight as a lesson for you and me. I want you to see what reward one gets, what effect what one has every time you do a mitzvah. Let me give you a glimpse into the power of mitzvahs. We spoke about this at length last week, the power of the psia, of the taking the steps. In order for a Jew to know, l'galot lanu godo ve'orech ma'isa mitzvah shei Yisrael, u'ma'asem lefnei avinish v'shamayim, mamish dovetails what we spoke about last week, how we have to recognize the power and the reward of every single mitzvah that we do. The second part of this, it's the second answer, but it's really dovetails, is an answer of Rav Yosef Salant and Ber Yosef that a lot of them are first in quote. And he says, what was different about this mitzvah? So the first answer is this was the first mitzvah to underscore, to highlight for us the power of reward. The second answer, my friends, is that all the other mitzvahs of Hachnasat Orchim, of inviting guests that Avraham Avinu did, he did when he was feeling well, when things were going well. This act, 99 years old, this act, when he's the third day of Bris Milah, this act in a heat, you know, wave, is an act of Siris Nefesh. It's an act of going above and beyond himself, what we call L'mala Min HaTeva, above the natural order. Because he went above the natural order, shemikolza nirei midatu vavachasto l'malam mikoach hanosh emichutz l'gvul teva b'nei adam, it would seem above and beyond what any normal human being would do. Lachein, therefore, kishayu Yisrael b'midbar makom shem zeravein lam mayim. Therefore, when the Jewish people were in a place where they had no food and water, the Hashem gave them things that were l'malam min hateva, above the natural order, above and beyond. So my friends, what we've seen until now, let's just review, and then we can move on to Rashi. So Rashi tells us that because he had an emissary take the water, so the repaid through an emissary, Moshe Rabbeinu has to strike the rod. All the other things that Moshe Rabbeinu does, that Avraham Avinu does directly, he gets repaid directly. So you have the man for Lushi Vesu goat, you have the Adonai HaKavod for that he stood above them over the tree and he served them. the Mita Kedeket Mita. Why? Because these acts weren't just regular acts. They were self-maisav machshava tchila. That the end result was predicated on the mindset. And it wasn't just the mindset, oh, I want to be nice, and I want to be, you know, a good person, and then somebody will be nice to me. No, it's nothing to do with the other person. It has to do with me. It has to do with my desire to give. It has to do with my desire to emulate Hashem. You know, it's like saying to a kid, you know, you're walking down the street and you see somebody who's struggling with their groceries, and you say to one of your kids, why don't you go help them? And your kid says, oh, I think they're managing. They may be managing, but you can't be managing. If you see somebody who at any point may need help, it's not about them. It's not about feeling bad for them. They may be able to handle it, but it's about you offering. It's about you needing to give. It's about you stretching your muscles. That you look outside of yourself and say, how can I give? How can I make the day better for other people? That's what a Jew is about. That's what a child of Avraham Avinu is about. Always looking to be able to ease the burden and pain of others, not because I feel bad for them, but more so because I want to be a God-like person and I want to emulate the ways of Hashem. So I understand all of this, my friends. It's dafka this mitzvah, the first mitzvah. So Chidush HaYarim says that he has a persvila. It's dafka this mitzvah, says the very Yosef from Yosef to Lanzatzel, because it's this mitzvah that he went ma'al lateva, above the natural order. So okay, he didn't give water. Do I have to make such a big deal? I mean, look what he's putting in here. I mean, this is above and beyond what you can imagine. So for something so small, he has to get paid back with an emissary. So notes the Chochman HaMatzpun, the Chol Pratch B'Maseh Shel Avraham Avinu, in 19, V'Hashva'ach Yivitshebo, Kenei Tashlita Hashva'ah Badro, Shel Chol Pratch B'Otoy Maisa. Just like every positive act he did created such an enormous effect, so too, when you're missing any part of an act, it also creates a ramification. V'im kol zeh lo itchashev Avraham lo b'chayav v'lo b'chom, the next page, v'asakol ma'matzim l'sharet otam. Yes, we see that in everything Avraham Avinu tried, he hurried. V'rak b'davar achad lo tipel. But one thing he missed out. But you know what? Aval kevan shelo sak b'nikudazu l'maiseh b'yadav v'roglav mamash. You're right. He missed out on one small detail, and his children missed out as well from having a direct contact from Hashem, where Hashem would take out the water himself, and he needs an emissary to take out the water. You have somebody to draw the water for you, Avraham Avinu. You didn't draw it yourself. You didn't give it yourself. Hashem won't give it himself. Hashem will also have Moshe Rabbeinu draw it out. So we need to understand. So he missed one detail. I mean, it seems to be a little bit intense. So I want to share a gewaltig piece from the Birkas Mordechai, Rav Ezrachi. And, you know, in every shiur that B'chasdei Hashem I prepare, you know, I call it a miracle every week, there's always one piece that is the one that says, ah, this is going to be the topic of the shiur, and then everything B'chasdei Hashem, you know, comes together, but there's one piece that is a decider who will be the theme of this parsha shir. It was this Birkas Mordechai that convinced me to do a shir on this particular topic. And it's not that it's earth-shattering. It's that it's earth-shattering. And it's earth-shattering because of its implications, and again because of its simplicity. And I want to learn it together. Rav Ezrachi, 21, he says, Kizehu kocha shel mita keneged mita. This is what it means, measure for measure. B'diyuk nimrat, with real exact precision. B'tochen, b'tzurah, in how you do it, in the way you do it. Ad kidei kach, shebad bevading kfiyat amida shel siyat adam, to the extent that whatever way you do it down here, v'ad kenegda asiyato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem will repay you. Nimsa ki be'etzem atziyato shel adam, hihi zot amiviyah, the way we act down here, very much Hashem Socha, is not only the way Hashem will respond, but to the exact measure, to the exact nekuda, the way Hashem will respond. Listen to the asterisks. Shnaim shel su of topula. Two people do the exact same act. Hachad hishpia mashu yoter macher. But one puts more into it than the other. Uba davarli devi tubi maise shamayim. And that's going to have a result in the way Hashem is going to respond. Atahu ben adam hakoveya mafil matzeve maseh shamayim. We, you and I, we are the ones Shamayim is going to repay us. Every act we do down here, the Nefesh HaChaim creates a reality in Shamayim, creates spiritual effects. You want to know what those spiritual effects are? Let me ask you, how much of you did you put into what you did? How much Kavana did you put in? How much of yourself, how much of, quote, Shamayim did you put in? Kachi hashkachato shel borei olam, kachi nireit. Hihi maltah shel hashkacha v'zev ritzonoi yitbarach. That's what hashkacha pratim is about. You know, we think hashkacha pratim is only that Hashem watches over me, I have divine providence. And it's so limiting. Hashkacha pratit means to the very, very minutiae of how much of me I do whenever I do, that's how I'm going to see the ramifications, the results of Hashem. He's a her ben adam. Be careful. Surat ma'asecha heim heima kovim v'ridim ma'isa shamayim v'tziratam. Our acts are what bring down ma'isa shamayim. Ach lo pachot me'arer yishtaut harachai metit shamase ben adam. Because if you take a look at this, Avraham Avinu said, bring water. He brings the Eved, or the Nar, brings a pail of water. Avraham Avinu would have brought the pail of water. You could measure it, and it would be the exact pail of water, the exact amount, the exact quality of water. But you know what, my friends? Klum shavei amirchak, shemen Avraham Avinu l'shaliach, l'mirchak, shemen HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'bem ha'kol shel Moshe Rabbeinu, kanirah shekein, kyom nam zoi migdah. But you know what happens? The exact same water, the exact same amount, the exact same texture. The Avraham Avinu brings that water. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself would have brought water for Klal Yisrael. The Shaliach brings water. Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to hit the rock. What a difference for something so small! And it's not the actual water itself. It's the individual investing in bringing the water. Ben Tavin Ben Adam. Do you understand, my friend? I know this line is what just, I said I had to teach this. Do you understand what a simple act is? You know, someone asks you, could I have a cup of water? I can give you a cup of water, and they can give you a cup of water. They're two different cups of water. They look exactly the same. You can't compare. How much love am I putting in that water? How much L'shem Shamayim am I putting in that water? But sumat lev nosefet. When I add a little bit more attention, b'yachasut nosefet, when I'm putting more attention, b'maisa nosaf, with a little extra, o'af b'machshava nosefet, even a little bit of mindset, makes a big difference. And he says, right before 22, hayalel libcha ben adam, ki yachasut nosefet, ishi mitzitcha, shaveh berka, lekib yochol, yachasot shobare, olam b'fodo b'atzmo, dalecha, ki kak b'diyuk hadavar, Mida kenegen mida eina onesh elamitzius. This is a reality. This is where it's at. Because he says, lean under the tree, and I will, provide for you, we get the onesh shamayim. We get the onesh kavod. This is where it's about. You know, it reminds me, we had a Rebbetzin speak by us in our community last Motzei Shabbos, and she told the following personal story, so I'm not going to mention her name, but I'll tell you the personal story. She said she was doing some work on, learning about mindfulness. And she said she wanted to try it. So instead of working on it, being mindful about a carrot, she said she didn't really think the carrot would know the difference whether she was mindful chewing that carrot or not. She decided to work on mindfulness with her three-year-old. So she said that she had a three-year-old boy that she would read to stories all the time. But when she would read the stories, her mind was making menus and, a zillion other things while she was reading the story. So she decided she was going to sit and read this three-year-old a story like she never read a three-year-old a story before. Totally focused on reading the story. Every word. If any of you have read a story to a three-year-old, you know what it is to read a story to a three-year-old and to read a story to a three-year-old. We know the difference. She said when she finished reading this three-year-old a story, this little boy climbed up on her lap and gave her a big hug and said, Mommy, I love you so much. She said this kid had never done that before because the three-year-old felt that he was given complete attention from his mother. A three-year-old can tell the difference. It is so, so clear when we're putting our whole being into what we're doing, or when we're being Yotzei. This is the lesson from this medrash that Rashi is teaching us. Yukach namad mayim, right? Yukach na, take for yourself some water. Take for yourself some water versus giving him water is worlds of difference. You're missing the Avraham Avinu and all that Avraham Avinu is about when he invested in doing all of his mitzvot. And the result is, as he continues, Rav Yisrachi in 23, that because of this, that Moshe Rabbeinu had to hit the rock and not speak to the rock, or the rock would bring forth water on its own, that as a result of that, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't go into Eretz Yisrael. And as a result of Moshe Rabbeinu not going into Eretz Yisrael, Klal Yisrael go in and had Moshe Rabbeinu gone in without it. And had Moshe Rabbeinu gone in with them, then he would have built the base of Mikdash, and everything Moshe Rabbeinu does is Nitzchias, is forever, and the whole Jewish history would be different. Yukach na'amat mayim? He takes it through a shaliach? Moshe Rabbeinu is a shaliach? And we're in Golos. Oh my gosh! Such a repercussions? Exactly, my friends. And the question we have to ask ourselves, this is what's screaming out at us. We are so busy. We have so much on our minds. We do so much at any given time. And we all know that multitasking doesn't work. We all know that whatever we do, when we try to do a zillion things, nothing comes out. And we all know that when we focus 100% on that book to that three-year-old, it makes an entire difference to that child. Wow. Can you imagine what our mitzvahs would be like if once a day, at least, I'm not limiting us, we would say a bracha with real kavana. We would do an act of chesed with the mindset of I just want to be like an Avraham Avinu, and I want to emulate a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and I want to give for the sake of giving, not because they need it, because I need to give it. Wow, the world would be a different place, my friends. And as Rav Goldstein and Shari Chaim points out, he says, every act we do has such ramifications. That's why every part of the act and the way we do the act weighs in differently. And that's why if something a little is missing, you're missing so much more. Therefore, the message is, let's strive to do a mitzvah with shleimus, with its entirety, with simcha. As the Medrash in Rabbah tells us, had Boaz known, it would be written about him that he would give her a little bit of grain, he would have given her a fat meal. Focus on the ramifications of every mitzvah we give. And as Ruach Eliyahu Rosh Sveis, that self notes in 27, it's in us. We have the ability. Part of the problem is we sell ourselves short. Oh, come on. What can me bringing a cup of water to a friend really accomplish? I'll never become great over a cup of water. And therefore, he never, and therefore doesn't even strive to become greater, because we don't appreciate our actions. And he says, just like in planting a seed in the ground, it's really that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who takes it out. Our job is to plant. So too here, Hashem gave us so much ability to focus and to invest. And all we have to do, and we have this as part of our genetic DNA from the Avos, we have to tap into it. We have to actualize it. It has to become us. And as Moshe Feinstein Zatzal 28 points out, many people mistakenly think that the primary goal of mitzvos between one individual and another is to achieve the desired result. And it makes no difference whether one personally does a mitzvah or through an agent. This is incorrect, however, because the very action of doing a mitzvah is in itself a mitzvah. For this reason, one should always try to perform mitzvahs personally rather than through agents, unless speed is of the essence. The Savram gave the calf he selected to a youth who could prepare it faster than he could, and again, does not get punished for that. Were there not some such advantage to the guest, however, it would have been preferable to do it himself. Now, and that's why by the water, there wasn't a reason why Yom Ravidu shouldn't have done it, and therefore that mita keneged mita, that measure for measure. And here, Rav Moshe Tzatzal touches on our question, and he answers it in two ways. Well, let's assume, perhaps, if it was a regular one of his servants, I can understand that such a, measure for measure, you're missing out on all the kavanas and all the input, and therefore the servant doesn't have it, even though it's the same water. I can hear that. But what if Avraham Avinu had told Yishmael to bring the water? Why would that, have necessitated such a strong reaction? And he says two things. One is, and again, water is not like the calf preparing it. Water is much easier to do. He says, imagine the educational 29 impact of watching Avraham perform an act of chesed. Watching a child fulfill Avraham's command to do chesed would teach you this proper to do chesed. But what kind of chesed would it be? It would be the act of a child lacking energy and joy. Watching Avraham himself do chesed would grant one insights into chesed not available in any other way. How much enthusiasm would Avraham bring to the task? How much would his rejoicing in doing a mitzvah be apparent? And the only way to teach these all-important lessons is to teach by example. And that's why, albeit there are times for educational models, but when it comes to something like this, when Avraham Avinu could have shown Yishmael what it means to bring water, he's lost an opportunity. And the other answer that Rav Moshe gives in Source 30, which I think is also equally as fascinating, perhaps even that more fascinating, is he said, since Avraham Avinu would tell Yishmael, you go get the water, it could be thought in Yishmael's mind that, you know what, that he wishes to work at fulfilling himself rather than allowing someone else to do it for him. If the father instead chooses to delegate the task, the child may think that the fulfillment of a mitzvah is not beloved. Rather, it's a bother, a task to be unloaded into the hands of whoever may be available. And this is a very fine line that as parents and educators we have to be very careful of. You know, sometimes going back to the Meshulachim, when a Meshulach comes to the door and we say to our kids, okay, go to the pile of money and give them money. So the question we have to ask ourselves, and the question that the kids are asking themselves too, am I doing this because my parents don't want to be bothered with the Meshulach? Or am I doing this because my parents want to teach me what it means to give tzedakah? And the only way that we're going to be the latter over the former is if we very often do give it, and we show how to give it, and we say, bring a cup of water, and we do it, and we've done it many times, and the kids see that. Once in a while, to then have the child do it, they see that I'm not unburdening on them, but rather I'm giving them the opportunity. If every time we have guests coming to our house and I ask my kids to make the beds for them, they may get the feeling, oh no, guests are coming, mom doesn't want to, strip the sheets and make the bed, guess I have to do it, I'm the slave. But if they see the parents doing this, well, what an opportunity to make the beds for a guest, this is amazing, and they've seen this, and they watch it, and once in a while, when a child does it, they don't feel that they're being unburdened upon, they feel that they are experiencing a schus to be part of the mitzvah of Hadassah Rochim. And as Rav Schwab on Chumash notes, this is based in his selected speeches, it goes without saying that one of the basic conditions of successful chinuch is that the parents become role models for the child. The pasuk, a person shall fear his mother and father, is preceded by the words, you yourselves have to be holy. Only if parents are living examples of the first part of the pasuk can they expect, or the first pasuk, can they expect their children to take them seriously and to go and to respect and obey them. And he notes, I think, very fascinating, that there are two models of chinuch. There's the model of Pesach, the Gadat Levincha, actually teaching your child. And then there's the model of sitting in the sukkah, L'may Yidu Dor Seichem, where you don't say much to your children, but you experience it, you live it. And both are important models for our children. So even if you want to tell me that Avraham Avinu had a good excuse, he wanted to educate his son, so the question we have to ask ourselves is this the best educational methodology? Was this the best time? How is it going to be understood? And clearly we see from Hashem's response that Avraham Avinu, if this indeed was his moment of chinuch, this is not something Hashem agreed to. It's interesting that Rav Zadel Epstein in Sefer HaAruot, and again it's quoted by Nemr the Balei Musar, says, Ulechoran 32, Ech yachol Avram laspik kol kach harbe dvarim? You may say, oh my gosh, what do you want from Avram Avinu? Poor guy, 99 years old, just third day bris milah, heat wave, like, how much do you want him to do? Zakein v'chalush v'chi yachol gam l'shchol gimel parim gam l'asod u'gam, gam l'vi chema v'chalav, gam l'vi mayim? Milk the cow, you know, shech the cows, make the I mean, he has so much to do, and bring water. I mean, like, you know, give me a break. Mashayat tviyashu avad godol nevirato yasek kol batzmo v'nimnami kach l'shalemo zemita kenegemidah. If he doesn't, he gets punished. So he says, we learn here from the Mashgiach of Mir, of Lovet Tzatzal, Levi, that even if a person, the kasher yesh ladam terut, he has a good excuse, why he's not able to do something. He's forced, I can't do it. Zeh terut, it is an excuse in the asterisk. Ulofamim zeh terut tomod, and sometimes, you know what, it's really a good excuse. Ach b'mitzius chara kiyum lo yikabel. But you know what bottom line is? You're not going to get rewarded for doing it. I don't care what your excuse is. You didn't do it. Ein kan onesh. This isn't a punishment. El heyor b'mitzio lo nase. It's a reality. It wasn't done. Therefore, there's no reward. Im kein klai su on nailas. It's a peg me dekem nege me. The lamroch is ayas have stayed. Gadol kokach. And klai su will have to suffer. Albeit, it could have been a good excuse. And the Chovos Levavos tells us, shal adam litrachek ma'od matmat lot. Person should avoid excuses. We have to repeat this over and over to ourselves. Stop trying to work so hard on your excuses. Work harder on doing things. And again, you're right. There are things that happen that are out of our control, granted. But if a person lives a whole life of, oh, that's such a good excuse. You know, I really can excuse myself, but you're not accomplishing. And albeit, they may be, you know, valid excuses. But there's still, you haven't done what was supposed to get done. And that's the reality. Our final idea for today, my friends. As we've dissected this Rashi step by step, Avram Avinu, oh my gosh, how much kochos hanefesh he put in. The first mitzvah as a Jew, gevaldik, it's setting us up a standard of what Tzchar Mitzvah is about, the reward for mitzvah. He went, l'malu min ha-teva, Hashem responded, l'malu min ha-teva. It's not a punishment that he didn't bring the water, it's a reality. It's the same water, but different person bringing it. It's a whole different water. It's a whole different story, my friends. And that's where it's at. And we can't limit ourselves. Oh, why would I do this? What big deal is it? Every cup of water, every bracha, every ben adam l'chaveiro, every single thing we do creates so much spiritual effects. Stop trying to find excuses. Do. And do with mindfulness. Do with the entirety of your being. You have any idea of what Hashem has put you in this world as a yid, as a Jew, what you can accomplish? You should be dancing through the streets every time you have a chance to do a mitzvah. Every time you have a chance to say a bracha. Oh my gosh, it's like... Let's end with an insight from the Eteret Yosef. Why does Rashi quote the story of Moshe Rabbeinu when he gets punished? Let's bring it as the, you know, the story when Hashem tells it, you know, Vayachat Asela, hit the rock in Parsha B'Shalach. So the first answer, which we've stored in the Berakos Mordechai, is you see the ramifications of a small act. The ripple effect is that Avinu doesn't do it. Moshe Rabbeinu hits the rock. He doesn't go into Eretz Yisrael. We don't have a base of Mikdash. I mean, like, you see what happens. It's not just a small thing if you don't do it. The answer of Derek Joseph is a little bit different. He said, perhaps, what did Avram Avinu think? That water, it goes back to the Avodah that we begin with, the Avodah Yisrael. Water is a sign of Tahara, it's a sign of purity. And Avram Avinu thought that if water is brought, it doesn't matter by who, it will have the water itself, intrinsically, has the ability to tire it down. Therefore, there's no real difference if I bring it or someone else brings it, because water itself has that ability. Once they, you know, wash themselves, they become purified. It doesn't matter who brings it. The truth is not true. To really bring someone to a level of real amunah, it's a big mitzvah. And the afori, you should do it and not somebody else. You should be the one who's going to bring, and that's Avodat Yisrael's conclusion as well, that Avraham Avinu should have been the one who was going to be teaching them and going down and purifying them. As we say, V'zarakti lecha mayim tarim utaritem, Hashem kivyachol himself sprinkles water on us. That was the power of the water. Avraham Avinu should have done it himself. This mindset of Avraham Avinu is perhaps what led Moshe Rabbeinu to make the mistake he did. He says, if I talk to the rock or I hit the rock, they'll still have amunah. It will still be a great thing, whether you talk to the rock or even hit the rock, for water to come out. It'll be a great amunah. And where did he learn this from? He learned this from Avraham Avinu, that the power of water is the power of amunah, wherever it comes, whether he brings it or Shaliach brings it. So therefore, he said, I can hit the rock, because it will also be a Kiddush Hashem. And because Moshe Rabbeinu made this mistake, when he thought that the nature of water is that it will have emuna whether you do it or, you know, somebody else does it, Moshe Rabbeinu also thought that there will also be a great Kiddush Hashem if he hits the rock. So therefore, this is the act of Avraham Avinu. It wasn't just through a shaliach that led Moshe Rabbeinu. This story is chosen because this story is what Moshe Rabbeinu learned from, that it doesn't make a difference whether he talks to the rock or hit the rock when Hashem told him to talk to the rock. Ben Kavachol, there's going to be a great Kiddush Hashem. Amunah is going to come out of it. And we see here then, though, that just like there was a repercussion of Avraham Avinu not bringing the water himself, there was a tremendous repercussion by him hitting the rock and not speaking to the rock, and therefore he gets punished, and whatever reasons, or is not able to come into Eretz Yisrael. Rabosai, the bottom line for us is there are realistic ramifications for everything we do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays back mida k'neged mida, and recognize that people are watching us and people are learning from us. And not only the repercussions upward, the repercussions are how one learns from another as well. And that we have to be super aware and super sensitive of all the actions that we do. And we should be zocha, that we should invest the entirety of our being so that the full mindfulness in Kiddush Hashem and Kvod Shemayim and all the mitzvot that we do, that will affect a reciprocal effect in Shemayim of Hashem benching us with tremendous shefa of bracha, and that those around us will learn as well to be able to do mitzvot with passion, with enthusiasm, the entirety of our being, and all of our actions will just bring a tremendous shefa bracha and shefa hatzlacha to us and all of Klal Yisrael.